got a crazy message series I started a few years ago called In God We Trust. Can you say that with me? In God We Trust. I don't know how you are, but I love this kind of stuff. I love history or shows on television that tell me about our nation, that tell us what we used to be and how this great nation came to be. I love that. It helps me. Helps me, you know, challenges me to do more, to do a better job in my own life. And so I started doing a little series a few years ago. We kicked it off with looking at where In God We Trust came from. We looked at George Washington, John Adams, and another message, Thomas Jefferson. You can get all these messages out there on DVD. They also play on a Christian television network. You can catch them on TV sometime. Also, we did a couple other ones, and that is America a Christian nation? Are we a Christian nation? And the truth is the truth. Our president did go on foreign soil and say that America was not a Christian nation. That bothered me. It really ticked me off. But not just me, a whole lot of people. And I hadn't heard that said a whole lot since. Because we are a Christian nation. Can you say that? We are a Christian nation. Okay, so it'd be something you'd be ashamed of. You're sitting here today because you are a Christian nation. You're here today. You live in America because we are a Christian nation. We thank God for that. So, I did a series on, you know, In God We Trust, but looking at that, looking at, is God mentioned in the Constitution? Is God mentioned in the Constitution? Are you crazy? He's all through the Constitution. So we proved it to you. How about the Declaration of Independence? We also did a message looking on the constitutions of all 50 states, because America is not just red states and blue states. We're the what? United States of America. Well, if we're the United States of America, then I want to look at every constitution of every state and every constitution of every state. Not only does it mention God, most of them start off with, we thank God, we look to God, we ask God, we believe in God. And so, I guess we are a Christian nation. Amen? Say. Is everybody in America Christian? Of course not. Amen? That doesn't mean we're not a Christian nation. Don't buy that bull. We are a Christian nation. Okay? So, where are we going to go this year? Kevin, if you'll turn me down just a little bit. Not a lot, just a little bit. So, where are we going to go this year? Well, we're going to go back to school. All right? We're going to go back to school. I cannot believe this was a message that I got this week in my office as I was studying. And so, it's going to be interesting. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to go back to school? Say. I'm telling you, I was shocked this week at what I learned, and it made me feel so much better about what I do as a pastor at Fellowship Church and what we're doing on Sunday morning. Did I ever feel so much better and encouraged? You'll find out. Here we go with the message this morning. Can you say that with me? In God we trust. Let's do a little bit review on where that phrase came from. Is that something I made up? Oh no, In God we trust first appeared on our coins in the year 1864. It was urged by the Secretary of the Treasury, Samuel Chase, in the following letter to the Director of the National Mint at Philadelphia on November 20th, 1861. Mr. Chase wrote, "Dear sir, no nation can be strong except in the strength of God, or safe except in His defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins." On December 9th, 1863, Chase formally approved the slogan. Say it with me. In God we trust. It first appeared on the short-lived 1864 two-cent coin. And you can see them right before your face, right there. In God we trust. It's been used continually on the one-cent coin since 1909. So for over 100 years, that little old penny you got that says In God we trust on it. Yeah, over 100 years that little coin's been saying that. Amen? That's why you ought to pick one up when you see it on the ground. Pick it up! Amen? Why not? It's just a penny. It's got God's name on it. Get it up! I'm serious. You think people might have said that 75 years ago? I mean, it was worth a little more, but don't you think that kind of feeling might have been in people? Come on. It's been on the dime since 1916. Since July 1st, 1908, In God We Trust has been stamped on gold coins, silver dollars, quarters, and a half dollars. July the 11th, 1955, we move forward about 50 years. President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed Public Law 140, making it mandatory. Can you say that word with me? Mandatory. Sounds like a good general to me. Mandatory that all paper money display the motto. Say it with me. In God we trust. The following year, 1956, Public Law 851 was enacted and signed to make In God We Trust, say it with me, our national... When I preached this a few years ago, a lot of you did, you told me you didn't even know America had a national motto. Our national motto in the United States of America is In God We Trust. Can you say it with me again? In God we trust. Oh no, but we're not a Christian nation. So will you help me one more time? In God we trust. Keep looking. All paper currency issued after October 1, 1957 included the words, In God we trust. There's your money. Check it out. In God we trust, 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 in God we trust. Have we gone blind or something? Say. That's who we are as a nation. Okay? All over the place. In God we trust. Let's move forward now. Where are we headed? In God we trust is more than just a motto. In God we trust is in our DNA. It's who we are in America. It's who we are in America. Okay? Not everybody feels this way. More of us need to start talking like this more and 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 be grateful to God and thankful to God. That's why people at Fellowship Church, you people in the Englewood, Port Charlotte, Sarasota area, you should be more grateful than any other church in the area, because every single Sunday you get to see America in action, a church functioning at a public high school, being able to preach the Word of God, being able to get it with no holds barred, and nobody prohibits me from saying anything about Jesus on this platform whatsoever. That's America. In God we trust. Amen. Come on. But the United States has drifted badly. And now we're all in new territory now with this message. The United States has drifted badly. Just in the last 50 years, a lot of people go back and make the case for when prayer was taken out of public schools in the early 60s. I don't know. But the bottom line, in the last 50 years, America has drifted badly. Some real problems. Let's look at a few of them. Violent crimes have increased by 500%. Sexually transmitted disease among students has increased by over 470%. Over 50 million abortions have been performed. Teen pregnancy has increased over 400%. Divorce rates have increased over 200%. Single-parent families have increased over 160%. Student suicides have increased over 250%. Alcohol and drug use is off the charts. I can't even put a percentage up. It's so high. It's insanity. So we have definitely drifted badly in the United States from who we were and who we are. So, what's the message today? Here we go. Y'all ready? Y'all ain't going to sleep on me, are you? All right, here we go. Set on up here and here we go. Let's take a ride. Pop it up. Let's go. Say it with me. Back to... Now, y'all come on. Hit me one more time. Let's go back to school. How many of y'all just hated school? See there? Don't you be hating this message. Come on. Let's go back to school. Y'all would have all done better in school if you had a big screen like this and people acting crazy in front of you, right? Amen? I know I would. Here we go. Let's go back to school. Now, I need your attention all the way from here on in. 106, I don't want you to ever forget this. This is not that hard. 106 of the first 108 colleges in America were founded on the Christian faith. Let me do the math. 100 were founded on the Christian. I mean, that's higher than 99% of all colleges were founded on the Christian faith. And we're not a Christian nation. Are you smoking something or what? Say. You listening to me? Say, are we a Christian? Are you kidding me? 106 of the first 108 colleges in America were founded on the Christian faith. So let's go back to school. Where are we going to go today? We're going to go to this school. We're really going to school today. Here we go. The first Christian college, you need to know this. Don't ever forget as long as you live. The first Christian college, the first college. The first college, not just the first Christian college, the first college, which was Christian. Got it? Say. The first college founded in America was, pop it up. Say it with me. university. How many did? Be honest and don't lie to me. How many said, I didn't know that? Thank you. I don't want to seem like the only dumb one in the bunch here. You're all with me. All right? Harvard University. Let's go back to school. What is my point of this message today? I want to take you back in time and let you see who we were and how we were founded, even how our first college was founded, what it was all about. But here's what I want to do for you today. Some of you have self-esteem problems. You don't think you're very smart. You think you're from Rockingham. You know, got problems. Hey, my goal today is to get you accepted into Harvard University. Wouldn't you like that? Say, that you could tell your friends, I was accepted into Harvard University. Wouldn't you like to be able to tell people that? Say, yes or no? Hey, it's not going to be a lie. You can say Pastor Clark said it. Way back when, we went through the test, I passed the test, and I got accepted into Harvard University, albeit with 1642, but I still got accepted. So let's look at it. That's my goal today. Let's go back in time, and let's see if I can get you boys and girls into Harvard University. Let's try it. Let's see if I can't do it. Come on, here we go. Let's learn a little bit about this college. Harvard was founded in Cambridge, Massachusetts in 1636. Harvard was funded by the donation of property and the library. Could you say it with me? Of the Reverend. One more time. Of the. Can we do it one more time? Of the John Harvard. Okay? Keep looking. Died a young man. He looked older than what he should. Sorry. 31 years old. Can you imagine that? Boy, you grew up then. You grew up quick. Crazy. It pleased God to stir up the heart of one Mr. Harvard, a godly gentleman and lover of learning, to give one half of his estate toward the erecting of a college and all of his library. This was taken from the Old South leaflets. Everything you see today was taken from history books or quotations from history books. The school was established. This is a crazy statement. Look at this. The school was established only what? After the landing of the pilgrims. Isn't that incredible? Say. I mean, come on. Ain't y'all got enough to do? And now you're going to be starting at college? Are you kidding me? Yeah. 16 years after the pilgrims landed. The purpose of Harvard University was, say this with me, train a literate clergy. I think somewhere along the way we did forget to do that down in the South. Some of you boys I've listened to, they ain't very literate. Amen? Some of y'all think I ain't. Ain't. Here we go. It was founded, this was the words, in Christi Glorium. Christ's glory. Harvard University, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That college was founded in Christ's glory? It was dedicated Christa et Ecclesia, or Christ and the church. I ain't never heard none of that. Have y'all say? Boy, I sure don't hear any of that coming out of Harvard today. Do you, yes or no? You kidding me? The founders of Harvard believe that all this from history, all knowledge without Christ is... Say that with me. All knowledge without Christ is... I'm going to tell you something. That's what Pastor Clark and Fellowship Church believes too. I believe that right there. I line up with those founders of Harvard University. I believe all knowledge without Christ in your head and within your thinking and with His will in your life and working out what it is that you know, running it through Him, through His Word, I believe all that knowledge you get is vain. If you're on another track other than the track of Jesus. The word veritas, you can see it right there, veritas, still appears, can you say that with me? Still appears on the university seal, which means, guess what? Divine truth. You know what that word divine truth means? It means that your Word, God, is divine. The Word of God is holy. The Word of God is without error. The Word of God is just what it says. The Word of God. And you're telling me on the seal still at Harvard University they have something that says divine truth? Yes. Boy, we've come a long way, ain't we, at Harvard? Say. Come on. The official motto. What was your motto? Now, if you got a motto, we love Jesus, we love people, right? That sort of is our DNA. It's who we are here. What was theirs? For Christ and the church. Harvard? Yeah! That was their motto. You go to Harvard, what do you believe? For Christ and the church. Said all together, class, for Christ and the church. That was their motto. Wow. How many of you are having a hard time believing all this? Yeah. Keep looking. At Harvard University, the following inscription remains to this day on the wall by the Johnston Gate, or the main gate, into the school. It reads this. There it is, just in case you think we're lying to you. There it is right there. But I'm going to show it so you can read it good with me. After God, on the wall, before the main gate at Harvard University, after God had carried us safe to New England and we had built our houses, provided necessaries for our livelihood, reared convenient places for God's worship, and settled the civil government, boy, they were working pretty hard 16 years. Amen? And we can't get an oil spill to stop. God help us. Amen? Come on. One of the next things we longed for and looked after was to advance learning and perpetuate it to posterity, dreading to leave an illiterate ministry to the churches when our present ministers lie in the dust. Why was Harvard University established? Here's why. Flat out, plain Jane, here it is. So that ministers could be trained. They could understand. They could know the Word. So that when the ones over here, you know they ain't living about 31, 35, 38. These folks are dying. We need to raise up others that can carry on the gospel ministry. Preach the Word of God. I mean, that's on the wall at the main gate at Harvard. Why don't you stop, Mr. Senator, and read it? Are you hearing me? Come on. Let's go back to school. Harvard University style. Wouldn't you like, now answer the question, wouldn't you like to be accepted into Harvard University? Come on, say it. Play with me, would you? Here we go. Yes! Play along here! Wouldn't you like to be accepted into Harvard University? Yes! There you go. These were, pop it up, presidents that studied at Harvard. John Adams, John Quincy Adams, Rutherford B. Hayes, Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, George W. Bush, Barack H. Obama. Harvard University. I'm going to stop and I'm trying not to get too ugly, but I might get ugly in this message, so hang on, hold on. It's something to me, pop this list back up. It's something to me how that when George Bush was president, people got on his case all the time talking about God. He prays, he hears from God, he talks to God. He's a freak, he's a nut, he's uneducated. But they really always jumped on him about his God. Y'all remember that or y'all don't remember history a couple of years ago? Say, amen. You'd think they wouldn't do that if you went to Harvard, right? Say. I mean, didn't you go to Harvard just to perpetuate the ministry? Isn't that what the school's all about anyway? Isn't it on the iron, right outside the wall at the iron gate? Isn't that what we're all about there anyway, people say? It's something how we change, isn't it? Okay? And it's amazing to me that our current president could go on foreign soil and say that America is not a Christian nation. Hello! Didn't you go to Harvard? Weren't you there? Didn't you see the wall? Are you hearing me? I'm just telling you. Come on. All right? Something else we found out, Franklin D. Roosevelt. People hail him as one of the greatest presidents of all time. I don't know. I wasn't living. Okay, here's the point. But some of you were living. You've told me about it. Anyway, the point is, he was a C-minus student. I've never heard people talking about how stupid he was. Say, we've just changed a little bit, haven't we? I could do this all day. I got to keep going. Here we go. Some senators and congressmen that studied at Harvard. Pop it up. Lord help us. Barney Frank, Al Franken. Come on. I'm just letting you look. Have at it. Okay, keep looking. Here we go. Wow, fellas, did you go by the wall? What about the wall? Are you hearing me? Keep looking with me. You might not like it. It might make you uncomfortable. I can't believe you're talking about the way Harvard used to be and the way our country used to be. Somebody's got to say it, or you're going to believe the bull you keep hearing all the time. Something's got to change. Come on, here we go. Supreme Court justices that studied at Harvard. John Roberts, Antonin Scalia, Anthony Kennedy studied at Harvard. It's interesting to me how people will get on, pop him back up in the middle. Scalia in the middle, he's such a conservative, you know. Listen, he come by it honest. He went to Harvard. He always wants to remind us of God and the Constitution, things like that. Ah, he's, you know, politically incorrect. Come on, it's funny how one thing works for one but don't work for the other. What's up with that? Come on, here we go. Let's go back to school, Harvard University. Are y'all ready? Pop it up, Raj. Here we go. Are y'all ready to get accepted into Harvard? Y'all right so far? I've already ticked y'all. Here we go. The rules and precepts for you getting accepted into Harvard University in 1642. The rules and precepts for you to be accepted into Harvard University. I'm going to tell you something right now. 90 to 95% or maybe all 100% on that screen that we just looked at, all those people, most of them, if not all of them, would not be accepted into the Harvard of 1642. Are y'all hearing me? Okay? It hit me this week, and I don't say this arrogantly, but you get more of an education of the 1642 Harvard style at Fellowship Church every Sunday morning than Harvard's getting today with its finest professors, what they're teaching up there today. Okay? And you're going to see that. That's crazy. So what would you... I can't believe you say that. What's in the Bible? If it's in the Bible, they said it. Just because they aren't saying it anymore doesn't make me wrong. It makes them wrong. Hear me? If you believe the Bible. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, just be man enough to stand up and say, I don't believe the Bible, and then live with the consequences. But if you believe the Word, then let's do it 1642 style. Harvard University. I want you to all get in. If I'd have had time, I was going to make you a card. You could have been a card-carrying member, not of the ACLU, but of Harvard University. And I might do it yet. Wouldn't you like to have one of those laminated stuck in your billfold? Say, would you like that? You pull it out and go, where'd you go to school? Harvard University. We could put the symbol on there, Veritas, because we're closer related to it than what they are now. I believe we could make the argument in court. Here we go. Wonder if Scalia would help us. Here we go. Let's look at it. Let's get you accepted into Harvard. I've already took the test. I made it. Number one, hang in here with me. Don't go to sleep. Here's your rules and precepts. Harvard, 1642. When any scholar is able to make or write, speak true Latin in verse and prose, and decline perfectly the paradigms of nouns and verbs in the Greek tongue, he is capable of admission into the college. Let me, excuse me a minute. You think them people on that screen could all do the Latin and the Greek up on that screen? Y'all thinking them people could do that? I'm telling you that right now. That definitely has changed. And the reason they did Latin and Greek, because you had the Latin Vulgate, that's what the Bible was written in. You had the Greek New Testament, that's what the Bible was written in. And the funny thing, in 1642, the King James Bible of 1611 was some newfangled Bible version. You're not going to just be bringing that little English Bible that just came out with you. Uh-uh. You need to know the Greek. You need to know the Latin and be proficient in it if you're going to get admitted into Harvard. So how can I jump over that one? How many ain't getting in right now? They did that because that's what they had. The Latin, they had the Greek, and that's how they had to study. You are in a different time. The problem is you don't not read your Bible because it's in Latin and Greek. The problem is you don't read your Bible because you don't read your Bible. No excuses. You're lazy. And if you're lazy, I'm sorry. You're not getting into Harvard. You hearing me? Go to the other school down the street. But you're not getting into Harvard if you can't read the Bible. And you've got it in the English translations, many of them. Well, I like it easy to read. Good, there's a bunch of those. No excuses, class, if you want admission into Harvard. Y'all listening, say. Can we all read English? Say. Can we read the Bible? Might not be as fast a reader as somebody else, but can we read the Bible? Say. Okay, if you can check that off, I can read that Bible. I can go, I know, sir, I can read that Bible. I can do it. I can read it. If you can do that, would you check that one off? Here we go. Pop it up. But it's more than just reading it. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. Most of these rules at Harvard had a scripture attached to them. Not all of them, so I attached one, but it goes along exactly with what they were saying. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be what? Ashamed. And some of you, I know when I say that about reading the Bible, you get upset, you can't believe it because you're feeling ashamed because you don't read it. But you know what? God called me to preach and challenge you. He didn't call me here to pat you on the head. I'm glad somebody stood in front of me and got on my case, case after case after case, to get me to start reading the Bible so I could learn how God wants me to live and behave and blessings and promises that are mine that I never knew before. It's phenomenal. So, number one, if you're going to get into Harvard, say it with me. You've got to do this. Study to show yourself approved. That's number one. Can you get in? I want you in. Here we go. Number two. These are right from Harvard. Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well. The main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, John 17:3. Therefore, to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning, and seeing the Lord only giveth wisdom, let every student seriously set himself by prayer in secret to seek it of Him. Number two, if you're going to get into Harvard, Scriptures first. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Proverbs 2, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What's the second thing, the second rule to get you into Harvard University? Number one was what? Can you remind me? Study to show yourself. Don't forget this. Come on. Study to show yourself. Rule number two. If I'm getting into Harvard University, here it is. Know the only true God in Jesus Christ. Are you in? How many are going? Maybe you don't feel like you're in yet, but you feel like, I could be in. Can I see your hand? I find that interesting. They didn't say just know God. They said know the only true God and Jesus Christ. But now if you say that, I don't even know if you could get in, if you really firmly, wholeheartedly believe that and you were strong. I don't know. I know one thing for sure, they'd call you a nut. Here we go. Number three. How you doing? Number three. Everyone shall so exercise himself in reading the Scriptures twice a day, that he shall be ready to give such an account of his proficiency therein, both in theoretical observations of language and logic, and in practical and spiritual truths, as his tutors shall require according to his ability. Seeing the entrance of the Word gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. Just some Scripture. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of your words give light, it gives understanding to the simple. That was actually embedded in their rule. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So what is the third thing of acceptance getting into Harvard? Here it is. Hide God's word in your heart. We're not giving you a card if you don't do all this. Crazy. What was number one again? Study to show yourself approved. Number two, know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. Number three, hide God's Word in your heart. Are you kidding me? Harvard? This is where you came from. This is your country, America. No wonder she's a great land. Amen? No wonder we've been blessed beyond our wildest imaginations. I'm glad people did it different than we do it. We'd have drove this thing into the ditch, this country of ours. Amen? Keep looking. Number four, that they eschewing all profanation. That's profanity. All profanity of God's name, attributes, words, ordinances, and at times of worship. Okay? You don't do that. You do study with good conscience carefully to retain God and the love of His truth in their minds. Else let them know that notwithstanding their learning, God may give them up to strong delusion and in the end to a reprobate mind. Harvard said that? That sounds like to me Harvard today. Excuse me. 2 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. Try the Bible what they said, that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Then they quoted from Romans 1. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, in His eternal power and Godhead. You know, who teaches creation anymore? If you teach creation anymore, you're a Neanderthal. You're an idiot. Not Harvard 1642. They believed it just like the book said. Y'all hearing me or not? Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but they came vain in their imagination. A lot of that's going on. And their foolish heart was darkened. They changed the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator who's blessed forever. Amen. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, got to get Him out of school, get Him out of college, get Him out of here, God gave them over to a what? Reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So how do you get into Harvard 1642? What's the rule? Here it is. You ready? Retain God in your knowledge. You're not getting in here. If you think you came from a monkey or some slime or some mess like that or Big Bang, that ain't flying at Harvard 1642. Sorry. Okay? We don't want you substituting what you think over what God said. What you think has got to be run through the filter of what God said. Well, I don't want to do that. Get off the bus. Not going to Harvard 1642. Am I boring you to tears? Here we go. Come on, we ain't got that far to go. Here we go. Number five. That they studiously redeem the time, observe the general hours, diligently attend the lectures without any disturbance by word or gesture. Don't even make a funny face. Ephesians 5. Where, listen, the rule comes right from the Bible. Wherefore, He says, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Say verse 16 with me. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's rule number five, sir, if I'm going to get into Harvard University? Here it is. Redeem the time and understand what the will of God is. How y'all doing so far? Did I lose any of you? You still on your track to get your card? Come on! It's good. Here we go. That's five. Number six. None shall frequent the company and society of such men as lead an unfit and dissolute life. You mean no frat parties? What? Why go to school? Nor shall any without his tutors leave, or without the call of parents or guardians go abroad to another town. Are you telling me before the frat house party on Friday night I've got to call mom and get a written permission? If that's what you want to do, you're not coming to Harvard. Got it? Amen? Is that biblical? Is that biblical to be under the authority of your parents? Say, Is it biblical, those in your class? You mean those people in your class that are teaching you? You are to submit to their authority, to the teachers, the tutors? What planet did we get off on here? Be not deceived. Evil communication, say it with me, corrupts good manners. They believed it. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. What's rule number 6 to get you guys in? Here it is. Pop it up. Walk, stand, and sit in the blessed way. Walk, stand, and sit in the blessed way. You want to get in? Walk, stand, and sit in the blessed way. The right way. You walk the right path. If you want in. Number 7. There are only 8, so don't faint. Here we go. This is Harvard. What do you think? There's going to be 3? Every scholar shall be present in his tutor's chamber at the 7th hour in the morning, and immediately after the sound of the bell at his opening the scripture and prayer, so also at the 5th hour at night. 7, 5. Then give account of his own private reading. But if any shall absent himself from prayer or lectures, he shall be liable to admonition if he offend above once a week. You think it would have been stern admonition? Okay. What's the rule? Let's look at the Scripture. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He's faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good works. This verse. Not forsaking, would you say it with me? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What is rule number 7? If I'm going to get into Harvard University, here it is. Hold fast the profession of your faith. It's not my job to drag you to church. It's not my job to get you to read your Bible. Did you know that you're supposed to hold fast to your own profession? Do y'all understand that or not? Somebody can tell you that. Yeah. The Bible says you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get saved. You personally put your faith in Him. It ain't a family plan, all right? It's you have to make a decision. Okay? Church is not responsible. You have to hold fast your profession of your own faith. Take responsibility. If you're willing to do that, I welcome you into Harvard. But don't miss much. That's what they said. Here we go. The last rule, number 8. Any scholar shall be found to transgress any of the laws of God or the school, he shall be admonished at the public monthly act. How many think somebody got their tail whooped? Can I see your hand? I'm not necessarily all for that part. But I don't believe it was like, oh, I can't believe you said that. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I know it's rough, isn't it? Bless your heart. I don't think so. What's the Scripture? For it's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. Say this with me. So then every one of us shall give account of, or herself, to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge rather that no man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall in his brother's way. We ought to judge ourselves, right? What's rule 8 to get you into Harvard? Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Do you understand that, class? Say, every one of us is going to give account. So, that's what gets you into Harvard. I think you've thought I've gone wacky today, right? Well, I have had a bad back and been on medicine, so here we go. Let's go back to school. Let's pop them up one last time, and the message is over today. This is America. This is the first college in America. 106 of the first 108 colleges had similar things that I put on the screen. That's what they all said, most of them. Okay? This is America. This is what made this country great. In God we trust. This is in our DNA. Can we find it? Can we draw it out? I hope so. It's there. Pop it up. Here they are. Say them. Look at them one more time. Would you say them loud with me? Come on. Help me out because I'm about to die up here. Here we go. Study to show yourself approved. Know the only true God in Jesus Christ. Hide God's Word in your heart. Retain God in your knowledge. redeem the time and understand what the will of God is. Walk, stand, and sit in the blessed way. Hold fast the profession of your faith. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. How many's in? Look at that. I feel like I'm among the elite. Harvard University. Lift your head up. It made me feel this weekend, I'm going to hush after this. It made me feel like I had more purpose in my life after I did this study this week than before I did it. Because what we teach here in this room, inside this school, is valuable. It matters. If I continue to hold to the Word of God, that's the right thing to do. That is the right thing to do. God told me this week in my heart and my spirit, Clark, you keep it up. You keep teaching that. Man, you got Harvard going on right out yonder. Amen? That's the plan here. Amen? I want you to get a Harvard education here at Fellowship Church, but not the current one. I don't want to give you an old sick. I want to give you this old one. Amen? From the old Word of God. And I hope I challenged you just a little bit today. I wish you'd take the challenge and see if you can't be accepted into Harvard University and just see where you are in your life and take this as an admonition today. Amen? From Harvard. Let's praise the Lord. Come on. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your Word. Thank you for your Word. Amen. Let's stand together.